following program has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan P. Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance or on how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path and so much more. Whatever your financial goals, Nathan has the strategies to get you there. And now here's your host, Nathan P. Ross.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show once again with Nathan Ross. It is Saturday, December the 4th. There in America. And as usual, we will be discussing ways for you to increase your retirement wealth accumulation, whether retirement to you means continuing to work in an activity you enjoy, or whether it means playing golf every day or fishing, or as Marvin Zendler used to say, whatever makes you happy is what we strive to help you achieve. Listen to the radio quite a bit, you know, when I'm on Saturdays getting ready here to do the show, and I hear again about how, on another real estate show that comes on before mine, that it seems like they're very boastful about raiding their 401s and IRAs because for some reason they don't understand they can do everything they're talking about doing outside their IRA and 401. Predominantly the 401s, the more efficient of the two tax-wise, without paying 30 to 40% of their net worth before they ever get started. And that comes as a shock when I get phone calls from folks that have been told that, which is a lot more frequent than you might imagine. They're really surprised to learn that here are the experts, or they're supposed to be the experts, and they actually are. I know many of the people that make up the leadership management in that organization, and they actually do a lot of good things when it comes to helping real estate investors. But boy, this is one where everything they do is undone times, about a million, and we can explain that comment later. So you've just got to be careful. You hear things on the radio, just like the things that I'm going to discuss with you. Check it out. Don't just go do it. It is not DIY strategies at all. These are tax strategies. They're significant dollars to your well-being or your detriment that can occur if they're not implemented correctly or if they don't even apply to you. That's really, I guess, the bigger issue. In any event, just so I can elaborate real quickly on the disclaimer you heard from the radio station on the way in here to the show, we are not going to become your CPA today unless you're already a client, which we do have a number of clients that listen to us. So they can listen to this information a little bit differently than you can, but, you know, we don't understand your specific tax and circumstances if we've never dealt with you, if we've never received any intake form information. You're welcome to provide that to us. You can find us at beaplanner.com. That's BEAPLANNER.com. And a couple things there at the top of that site. We've got a link so you can schedule a call with me. You've also got a link to complete the intake forms. And if you'll do that, we will provide you with a complimentary analysis of your retirement funds and what your choices are as to how you might use those funds to invest in real estate. And in all cases, we'll do it on a tax-optimized basis. And, you know, I refer to the fact often that I am a caveman accountant. I don't understand all your technical whiz-bang internet marketing, etc. And all I know is that when you tell somebody to give 30 to 40% of their net worth to the IRS on day one, you're going to have less than somebody that doesn't. And I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how much money you have. If you don't understand that basic premise, you probably won't be a prospect for us to work with you, because we want to keep that money, that tax leverage, as I call it, in your pocket. And in any event, that said, we're not your CPA, we're not your legal counsel, your real estate advisors, et cetera. Just because you hear this show today or you go to the website and you read about those four choices, you look at the illustration, the sample illustration we've done, let's do one for you. And then also, you know, if you do have concerns or questions about your own facts and circumstances, and you don't want to give that information to us, that's okay. Check with your own advisors. Ask them if they understand how the 401 trust can save you significant tax dollars, which turns into additional wealth creation, significant wealth creation moving forward. So always check with your advisors, whatever you think you want to do based on a radio show or some tangential relationship to taxes. With all that said, I have a couple of other issues that I wanted to bring up. The first thing is I announced last week that we're starting a second show on Sundays that will be 100% focused on the REP current investment strategy, which is real estate private placements. It's the hot topic. Private equity's even jumped into the game. If we didn't already have enough folks that are making significant returns by investing in private real estate partnerships, predominantly that undertake apartment building transactions. You know, a lot of industrial, a lot of medical facilities as well. But the sweet spot, the one that's easiest, I think, for the layperson to get their hands around is apartments. And so in any event, we were set to start tomorrow, but I've decided to delay a week. I've got some materials I'm working on for a new website that I really wanted to have ready. So next Sunday, 7 a.m., is when you can tune in to hear us. And all I can say is, and I've talked about it already, it's a new paradigm in today's world. Everything, whether it's your groceries, whether it's your entertainment, it's being delivered online. And, you know, the days are numbered for the old school membership models that you hear on this station and others. As to, there is no mandate, there is no requirement now that you join a membership or pay for a membership up front, which are significant in most cases, and restrict yourself or be taught that you'll have to be a member in order to invest in transactions that come through there. That's okay. Invest in those memberships if you have the funds. But just understand it's not a mandate, and we're working with quite a few syndicators with our clients that don't require membership, that are readily available online. You do your research, you find your transactions, and then we work with you to help you understand what you're signing up for. Hear the music. We're coming up to the first break, so if you will stand by, we'll be back here momentarily. You can call us at 281-558-5738 if you've got a question. We'll be right back.
So it started out for God knows where. I guess I'm.
Got a question for Nathan? Phone lines are open. Call now, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV. Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com, or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be A Planner show with CPA Nathan Ross, right here on AM 700 KSEV.
Your smartphone is now your radio. All you need is a KSEV app. And with one click, you're listening to KSEV. Anytime, anywhere. No static, no boundaries. Go to the Android Marketplace or the iPhone App Store. Search KSEV. Select the KSEV app. It's free and it only takes a couple of minutes. Listen to KSEV. It's easy with the KSEV app. More details at kseveradio.com.
At Doctors Without Borders, we believe the best medical care knows no boundaries. We responded to the pandemic around the world, including right here in the United States. Because of 6 million supporters who stepped up in this time of crisis, our teams could train health workers and vaccinate those in need. Independent and impartial, we respond at a moment's notice with medical care where it's needed most. We are Doctors Without Borders.
There wasn't nothing but a heartache in the middle of a bad dream. Like I took on the whole world, and I never had a chance, girl. And Lord, I tried to be forgiving, but getting by don't mean you're living. And on that highway going nowhere was an exit overdue.
Begin to understand how to generate more retirement wealth. In fact, I'll tell you the 401, the self-directed 401 strategy that we utilize, if you qualify, will generate twice the financial freedom that some of these other folks talk about. And we like financial freedom, don't get me wrong, but there's no freedom in paying the IRS 30 to 40% of your nest egg before you get going. And by the way, you'll never catch up. I don't care what strategy you deploy, unless it's the 401, there's no way to get that money back. And it's really tragic, some of the phone calls I've had that discuss that. I'm going to go to a caller. I've got Gerald in Clear Lake. You've got questions about investing passively. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Good evening. First, I'd like to, I guess I've got a two-part question. I'd like to ask that, and then I like taking notes when I listen to your program. So after I get my questions out, I'd like to hang up and take notes on your
sure.
answers.
You bet.
So earlier this week, I was listening to the radio driving home, and driving home, I guess. And I understand there's some questions that I should get answers to before I do any investing in real estate. And I guess I'll give you the short question first. Are real estate private placements the same as commercial real estate partnerships? That would be my first question. And then the second question I'd like to hear some information on also is, you know, what questions should I get answers to before investing in, I think you call them real estate private placements, REPs. And I was wondering also if you might have a list of items that you recommend that people want to do this kind of investment, talk about or get a hold of before they make the investment. So that's everything I'd like to hear.
Yeah, sounds great, Gerald. You know, very timely given the topic of the new show that I mentioned will be starting next week, and I'll have – more to say about these topics. I'm going to address your first question. I think I heard the same show this week on this station, and it was a really good segment. The article it referred to, I made a note here. I believe it's an article that was on thinkrealty.com several months ago, and it was called 10 Hard Questions to Ask Before Investing in a commercial partnership deal. And to answer, I guess, the end of your question there, I call these transactions REPs. Very simply, back in the old days, we called them RELPs, real estate limited partnerships. Now I refer to them as REPs, which is, in my term, which is real estate private partnerships, and then I've got a little slash little s on the end, syndications. And syndicating is the new style, and that's nothing more than saying that you're going to raise money in what's really the public market. In other words, it's people that are beyond the friends and family realm that we've executed certain transactions with in the past. But the rules have been liberalized both under Obama and under Trump. And now, you know, we have the ability to use the common buzzword now is crowdfunding. We have the ability to use the crowdfunded model to raise money to invest in real estate. And I made note, I take notes too when I listen to the radio like you do, Gerald. And I took note on the 10 things, and then I went and checked the article out because I like to see what the agenda is behind the article. And that's really, I guess, at the level I'm looking at these transactions, because I'm doing some of this work. I don't tend to do as much of what I call the intangible analysis. We like the math. We focus on the math. We help people understand what they're signing up for. And I'll tell you, as you may have already suspected, if you're looking to invest or have invested in these transactions, the math is a vital part of what you're signing up for. So we try to help you understand that every transaction is different. I haven't seen two transactions that are exactly the same. And even when it's the same lead partner, sponsor, syndicator, whatever you want to call that person that's sitting in the driver's seat, even if you've done four transactions with that party, the next one can be different and will be different because of what's going on in the private syndication space. And one thing I'll give credit to, you know, the earlier show that I heard this on KSEV, I think it was late in the week. I listened to multiple podcasts and radio shows, is they're calling out some of the things I've been calling out now for over a year that have changed in the syndication market. And as you know, if you've been listening to the show, and just last week, somebody got my buttons pushed and I started talking about the egregious fees that we're seeing and the fees that are earned. I call them day zero fees. They're not day one. They're before the sponsor's done anything. They've done what in the good old days we used to do to get the promote, the override, the split that the sponsor gets. Well, now they're getting that. That's gone up, by the way, percentage-wise, and they're getting some absolutely incredible egregious fees. So I tip my hat to the folks that had the show that you heard. I believe it's the same one I was listening to. They've got their hands on the throttle of these fees. Now, that said, they're also the group that tells you to liquidate your 401 on day one. So, you know, everything, there's a yin and a yang, I guess, in life. And I'll just tell you right now, on $350,000, if you liquidate, if you follow that advice, you'll notice the illustration on page one of my website, that only cost you about $22.5 million over the rest of your life by doing that because of the opportunity cost. And you can take issue with that. And I know those folks do take issue with my saying that. It's simple, guys. Pull out your $4 Walmart calculator, multiply the $95,000 in tax that you would pay, or at least in the sample scenario I was working with there, multiply it by 1.2 being the 20% on average compounded rate of return. Actually, they say you're going to earn more if you take them literally, because I've heard on this same show, I've heard them say that the majority of their members, quote unquote, majority of their members retires in 2.5 years. Well, that's absurd, unless they have over $1 million to get started and they view retirement as a $60,000 to $70,000 after tax affair, which our clients don't. They don't believe that's retirement. That's Neil Diamond's just getting by, you know, if we go back to the song. And so, you know, the other way is if you're joining with the hopes of being a syndicator yourself, a lead partner, and yes, you won't retire in 2.5 years typically, but 5 years, which is their normal statement. I'm not sure what was in the water the day that I heard the quote that, you know, it's 2.5 years now. It's dropped down to 2.5. Can't happen. Simple math. You know, if you're doing 20% type returns compounded, your money's going to double every 3.6 years. So if you're starting with $300,000 or $400,000, you're going to have $800,000 at the end of that 3.6 years. And you do the math, 20%, if you're fortunate to have 20% transactions, which bear in mind, that's an average. So you're going to hit some, and I see them because I do tax returns for clients of many platforms, including that platform. And I'm just telling you, the average is not 2.5 years. It mathematically does not work. I'm not saying there's not some anomalies. I'm not saying that if you got $2 million to get started, you know, you are retired. You're already retired if you got $2 million if you put your money into these transactions. But bottom line is, I still give them kudos for getting out ahead of this fee issue. And I will absolutely agree that if you're worried about fees on these transactions, well, then that group's a good one to spend your money on. But just understand, that doesn't mean you do everything they say. You really got to think when somebody tells you, you know, whatever they're telling you about taxes when they're not in the tax business. And in fact, I think the day before I heard this show, you know, the gentleman that narrates the radio show each day, I think he refers to himself as self-made millionaire, if I recall. He's got an intriguing discussion about how taxes work in these real estate private partnerships. And I got to tell you, I know he's got competent tax counsel. I know who it is. They're very competent. I can assure you they did not tell him the rules that he espoused on that show. I believe it was Thursday. And I, as a CPA, I didn't know whether to laugh or cry. But if any of my clients heard that discussion, please let me help correct it so that you understand what's involved with recapturing depreciation, as an example. That was part of the discussion I heard. And all I can say is very intriguing. It's a set of rules I've never heard in my 36 years of practice. And I understand the 2017 Tax Act made a big change. It did not eliminate ordinary income recapture on a large chunk of the bonus depreciation that's being taken in these transactions. I don't care what he thought he heard, it's wrong. So in any event, I'm going to go through these questions because these are 10 good questions. And again, kudos to the group for putting them out there. Somebody needs to help me discuss why these transactions have to be avoided if they're going to have some of the fees and some of the structure they do. I tell you what, I believe we're getting ready to come up on another break. So let's address this when I get back. I think we'll go ahead and take a break. For those of you that would like to get a question in to me, again, 281-558-5738, or you can text me at 713-782-1900, or you can email Nathan, that's N-A-T-H-A-N, at npross.com. That's November Papa Roger Oscar Singapore.com. We'll be right back.
Want to be a part of the conversation? Phone lines are open. Call now, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV. BePlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BePlanner.com. Or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be a Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross right here on AM 700 KSEV.
KSEV and its advertisers want to thank you, the listeners, for all your continued support. Without you supporting our advertisers, there would not be a Voice of Texas. We stand behind our clients, and if you're looking to boost and grow your business, join the great team at KSEV and its loyal audience by calling a member of our sales staff at 281-588-4800. That's 281-588-4800. KSEV, loyal listeners and dependable advertisers, are the Voice of Texas. Universal Propane Grill and Light is where all the grill masters shop for top-tier quality products to barbecue or cook a great piece of meat. Owner Bob Fulton always emphasizes to me the importance of selling a great quality product, whether it's a new grill or one of the many outdoor kitchen accessories. Don't be fooled by buying products online. I assure you, you're not getting what you're paying for. Stop by Universal Propane Grill and Light and allow Bob Fulton to explain and inform you on true quality products. With the huge showroom floor at Universal Propane Grill and Light, you're able to get a hands-on education. Universal Propane Grill and Light stands behind their products. No knockoffs that will corrode, break down, and fall apart after a few uses. Shop where all the grill masters go. Universal Propane Grill and Light, 9106 FM 1960 West, just west of 249. Give Bob a call today at 281-894-8878 or visit their website, gasgrillwarehouse.com. Universal Propane Grill and Light.
Dr. David Mobley is on call.
The purpose of the show is take your calls and chat with you about your health care.
The Houston Methodist Health Hour.
And I want you to join me, talk about your health issues or somebody that you care about, something you've heard, something you've read, something you're curious about. I may or may not have an answer, but I'll give it the best shot that I can.
The Houston Methodist Health Hour, Monday and Tuesday afternoons at 1 on AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas.
Welcome back to the Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross. And if you were with us here before the break, you heard me start to discuss, or get ready to discuss, some checklist items that you want to ask for. And then I'm gonna add some to it. And then I'm also going to talk about the current trend that I see. There's two of them that just right off the cuff, to me, are problematic. There's actually more than two, but we don't have time. We'll get into this more on the Sunday show that'll start next week. But in any event, let's see here. Let me go back to this article. So first thing is questioning or learning how much is the sponsor investing? And you know, very good point. You know, I see numbers that are all over the board. I like transactions where the leader of the team, the lead partner, the sponsor, the syndicator, the name varies, the role's the same, is putting their own money into the transaction. And I'm going to differentiate. I'm going to call it old money versus they're simply taking part of the fees they're pulling out on day zero and then investing that in the transaction. I mean, my gosh, you would hope at a minimum they're doing that, but I don't give them credit for that. I'm talking about putting money you already had into the transaction. And so part and parcel of that is trying to get a feel for what the sponsor's net worth is. Now, you know, I'm going to say overall the problem with all these financial type and history type, resume type discussions are people like to embellish, okay? And I'm going to give you a good example. I know, again, I'm going to keep referring to the group that had this radio show about this checklist, which I really enjoy, and I think it's one of the better shows recently. I'm going to tell you, they also are notorious for, you know, you show up at an event and you'll be talking to somebody that's already a member, and they'll talk about how many doors they own. Meaning, you know, how many units. And they may own 0.8 of 1% or 1.2%, but if they've invested in three transactions that have 200 units each, you're going to hear, oh, I own 600 doors. No, you don't. You're an owner in 600 doors. Let me just clarify that. And so I don't say it's a lie. It's just not the full truth. And so you're going to see that across the board when it comes to, and it's not just this group. It's all groups. When you look at, you know, some of the groups out on assorted other platforms, just take the black and white in writing print word with a grain of salt. And unfortunately, you're not going to see what do they call it? A fact check that Politico might do for you to tell you what's fake or what's not. But I'm just telling you, you take it with a grain of salt. Unfortunately, there is no independent body yet, I'm bound and determined to change this, that will go behind the sponsor, whether it's up front or it's year two, year eight, whatever, and confirm that they did what they said they would. Actually look at the financials, look at the transactions, confirm the ordering of calculations, which can have a big impact on how much money you get out, is the timing and the ordering of who gets what when. But in any event, number one's net worth. Number two, how much is the sponsor taking and fees and promote, and I'm going to say upfront fees and promote, and this could something I could spend the rest of the show on, so I'm going to try to constrain myself and not to meander too much, as my one of my clients calls it. But in any event, the upfront fees and the promote, think of it as a dilution factor. How much of your money, let's say you're going to put $100,000 in, how much of your $100,000 actually goes into the asset that works for your sharing ratio or your piece of the pie versus the sponsors? And this is something that is changing right before our eyes, literally in real time. I've seen transactions as of late that, you know, 2 years ago there was no such thing as an acquisition fee or a due diligence fee or a capital raise fee or a debt placement fee. Now, or, you know, a year, year and a half ago, I started seeing 2% day zero fees. Now I've looked at three transactions in the last 2 weeks that have, I'm not joking, 4 to 5% day zero out of your capital. The lenders do not underwrite these fees. Trust me on that. It's coming right out of the collective pockets of the passive investor, 4 to 5%. And then on top of that, they're taking a promote, which back in the good old days might be 10% or 20%, or in some cases 5% if it was an inexperienced lead. And by the way, you get what you pay for or used to. Now you get it, or you pay for it whether you get it or not, because some of the guys, I've looked at one transaction here recently, it had a 20% it had a 4% acquisition fee. And the guy had done, you know, 900 units, 10 transactions, most of them obviously duplexes or quads, and he's charging those kind of fees. And it's like, it's insanity. It's absolute insanity. But in any event, the promotes are now ranging, typically we see 25 to 30% at the outset, and then they've usually got a fairly low hurdle of getting some of your money back, and they're jacking the back end up to 50% once they sell it. They share with you to the tune of 50%. And again, look, any sponsor that gets to the finish line and gets you at least, I'm going to call it twice your money back, that would be a 2.0 equity multiple is the criterion that we're referring to. I'll give them almost anything they want after that. But if you're going to take fees up front, I want them reserved on the balance sheet, and I want a clawback provision that says, hey, if you don't get me to at least 2.0 equity multiple, and by the way, 3.6 years, or let's call it 4, so that you're doubling your money, which is our hurdle that we look at on our 401 math illustration, you can't get me to 2.0 in 4 years. I want some of that money back, because that means you did nothing spectacular. You might not have even done decent, but you certainly didn't do anything to deserve that fee up front, in spite of what you may have told me. And by the way, if you think the fee is simply to reimburse for all the expenses the sponsor has in putting the deal together, oh no, that's a totally separate reimbursement. You're going to pay for every dollar the syndicator spends out of pocket, and just count on it. So we're talking about a pure fee. It has nothing to do with cost, okay? And I've heard more syndicators talk about why that fee is necessary, and I'm just telling you, baloney, baloney, baloney. None of it's necessary. And they can look you in the eye, and I'm telling you, if you don't understand that that's a fox getting ready to rob your chicken coop, you need to. And I'm going to keep reminding you every week as we talk about these syndications on Sundays. And then we're also going to be starting some training both in Houston and in San Antonio here soon. But in any event, so enough on the fees. And by the way, we just talked about day zero fees. Trust me, the fees continue. We've got construction management fees. I'm seeing 5 to 10% on rehabs that could be as much as $5 million, $10 million on a $50 million property. You've got refinance fees, and then of course you get into the disposition fees, and that's where all the magic works. And you won't get it if you don't look at these transactions daily. You will not understand what the fox is doing right there. He's already in your hen house, and as one of my clients tells me, you know, he's grew up on a farm in Oklahoma, and he says, Nathan, you know, my grandpappy said you can either shear the sheep very often throughout their life, or you can kill it once. And let me tell you, this disposition fee is where they're going to kill it once if they're already into the, I guess it'd be the barn to where the sheep are maybe. Okay, number three is what's the exit strategy? How are you going to get your money back? That's a good issue, or that's a good question. Of course, strategies are all pro forma. The fees aren't. The fees are the only thing that's not pro forma. But the exit strategy is, and unfortunately, the exit strategy these days all seems to be the same. The project usually involves buying an older property. Could be as much as 20, 25 years old. Now we're calling those Class A simply because we put some wood-like flooring in, we change out the appliances, we got black and faux stainless, and for some reason they feel like there's no limit to what a Class C apartment tenant's willing to pay, and somehow we're going to jack the rents up almost overnight by 20 or 25%, and that's going to give us the ability to sell out, you know, in a big gain. Look, it sounds great. I'm not saying there's not some out there that might pull that off, but when you're talking about a 20 to 25 year old property, you got a lot of competition that are 5 years old, 2 years old, 10 years old, and if you jack the rental rates, you're going to find that, you know, tenants aren't stupid. They're going to move to a Class B or maybe a Class A minus if they can qualify. So I think there's a limit on just how many units are out there and how many tenants that you're going to charge an extra $200 a month to, just because now you've put a smart home package in, you may have added some covered parking, garbage, concierge garbage service, etc. There's a limit, and you really got to be careful how that story, or what's left to tell in the story down the road when either you've got to refinance, and by the way, we'll talk about debt here in a minute, or you want to sell it. And so anyway, we're getting ready to hit another break here, so let's put a hold here. I've got up to number three. I'm going to have to punch the fast forward here to get through the whole list when we get back. So I'll probably avoid taking calls at this point, but save your questions for next week. But we'll be right back.
Got a question for Nathan? Phone lines are open. Call now, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV. Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com. Or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be a Planner show with CPA Nathan Ross, right here on AM 700 KSEV.
I remember my son was going to grow up without a father.
I didn't think someone at 23 could be diagnosed with breast cancer.
I was probably the healthiest I had been in my life.
Early detection of a melanoma saved my life.
I survived testicular cancer because of early detection.
I survived cancer not once, but twice because of early detection.
During the pandemic, you may have delayed or canceled routine cancer screenings. It's time to get those appointments back on the books. Early detection saves lives.
This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Welcome back to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross. We've got our final segment coming up here, and just before the break, I was up to checklist item number 3 on what we want to ask before we invest in private syndications. And this is a very condensed list, and I'm going to try to get time here to add 2 or 3 more items, so I'm going to speed up here. Question number 4 is you ask how many small investors are going into the deal. I'm going to take that to mean less than $50,000 or $100,000 into this transaction you're looking at. Each transaction, each sponsor or syndicator will be different. I would say our average client investment is at least $50,000, and in some cases it may be as high as $200,000. Just depends on how much money our clients have to deploy, and we try to get some diversification by putting it into multiple transactions, of course. Number 5 is you want to find out where the money's going. You know, you want a sources and use example or illustration that shows exactly how the money's going to be used. And, you know, that includes the upfront fees. And unfortunately, you'd be amazed how many of these transactions don't even mention the upfront fees on their pro forma financials, because they're starting typically on year one. Well, you know, all these fees are coming out right at closing before year one. And so generally they're focused simply on the performance at that point forward. And so you'll see some fees, but again, unless you understand how to read private placement memorandums and operating agreements, all the fees have to be disclosed. That's the good thing. At least they're there. It's just a matter of somebody being able to ferret it out for you. What's the operator's experience? How many of these, that's number 6, by the way, how many of these properties or partnerships have they run? Have they ever signed the front side of a check? And, you know, one of the negatives in the mom and pop or the husband and wife team type projects are that, you know, as well-intentioned as some of those folks are, they've never run a business. And now they're getting ready to take down a $20 million apartment complex. And for some reason, we just think that, oh, they've had some training through the platform, maybe a certified lead type program. That's all fine and dandy, but there's a big difference between actually running a business. And what I would suggest is, in all cases, of course, most of the lead partners have invested passively for a few transactions, but even more than that, you know, offer to work for someone, work for free so you can understand the business. If you can find a syndicator that'll let you work for free, and most won't, by the way, and I know that sounds odd, but, you know, too many cooks in the kitchen, so to speak, can be problematic. But you want someone that's actually signed the front of a check. They understand payroll taxes, as an example. They understand marketing, you know, lease renewals. It's a combination of marketing and sales. It may be project management. You've got financial issues because, after all, you're the guy or gal looking to execute a refinance. Well, you've got to execute the original debt. Forget about the refinance. So, anyway, there's a myriad of skills there, and all I can tell you is you got to ask and you've got to get comfortable that, and these are intangibles. And by the way, in our world, our arena, the client is responsible for that part of the equation. I'm going to help you with the math, but I'm an accountant. Okay, I'm not a psychologist. I'm not your investment advisor. I know a lot of people would like for us to make the decision for them. Look, we're going to help train you. We're going to make sure you understand the math. And between the two of us, we're going to help you get down the road and start making money. Number seven, and this is a big one, is the sponsor overpaying for the asset or property, as the case may be? And I'm going to tell you right now, especially right now, syndicators are overpaying. And when I see transactions that involve, as I've seen just recently with one of the platforms involved here locally, purchasing assets built in 1980 and 81, what's that, 30 years now, and they're paying $165 to $170 a door. Unless that's in River Oaks, you're overpaying. And I understand, yeah, you've done your due diligence, you've done your underwriting, but you've also got other people doing what you're doing. And by the way, I just worked on another transaction in an Austin submarket, brand new, 140 units, less than 2 years old, another 140 being built on the same property, all in blended costs on a Class A, indisputable Class A apartment building, $182,000. Now, I understand that's under market, at least $75,000 to $100,000. I think Camden, Anomaly, and some of the other top shelf guys are building at 275, 300, somewhere in there. But, you know, you're not going to have the relative perspective that I do because I'm working on transactions across the country. You're seeing, you're looking the one syndicator in the eye here locally and having to make a decision. And again, that's part of the benefit of working with someone like us where we understand the lay of the land. We understand that there's a limit to how many tenants there are that are going to pay these, you know, enhanced rental amounts. And not that it's not all nice and, you know, attractive to make the property better. But again, how big's the pond that you're swimming in terms of what you're asking for rents? And the problem is that translates to whether my clients can get their money back. That's the big issue. And so I'm trying to avoid those transactions unless there's real value to them. And there's still going to be a story to tell 3 years from now. Why do I say 3 years? Because almost every transaction that's being put in play right now is using 3-year bridge debt. And by the way, I didn't see that issue on the list of 10 things. And that's probably one of the most critical, because if you can't refinance in 3 years, you got problems, because then you're going to have to pay extension fees, usually a percent on a, you know, call it a $15 million loan. That's a lot of money. And so, you know, you've got to look at that. What's the story? What's the story now versus what it's going to be in 3 years? And why is a lender going to give you a loan, we call it agency debt, where we can get a 10-year term, 30-year amortization, instead of a 3-year bridge debt, also 30-year amortization, but it's got a real short trigger on being able to refinance. And those of us that have been around since the debt malaise back in 2008, 9, and 10, we have firsthand experience understanding the stress factor in terms of getting those deals done. And you know, you end up having to recapitalize your transaction just to get the balance down to where then you can find a lender willing to refinance you. That's a big deal, and I don't see that being discussed nearly enough. Let's see. We were up to number seven was whether we're overpaying. Number eight. Oh, here's the debt one. I'm sorry. It is discussed. How much leverage is involved? You know, these days, 65 to 75% is kind of the norm. We've seen some a little bit higher. But again, you know, the leverage is key when it comes to the refinance. Whenever that trigger is, that's when you're going to run smack into, you know, how possible it is to refinance it. And the lower your leverage now, the more likely you can find a lender to refinance. Number nine was, what other assets does your operator currently own or operate? That's key, because if they already have, which most of them will, I think, at the level at least that we're working with, and we're not working with, I want to be clear, we're not working with these syndicators on a one-to-one. What I mean is, we've got clients that we're trying to locate syndicators that put transactions in play that meet the criteria that we've already discussed, i.e. 2.0 equity multiples 4 years or less, because we know if that happens, then the 401 math illustrations that we work on can be achieved. But in any event, if it's the first transaction somebody's doing, they've got no experience, those are deals that you really got to look that person in the eye. You got to know who you're dealing with. And, if it's someone that's a member of the organization you've joined, okay, there's ways of getting to know them. You can probably go tour the property. That's one thing I like about reps. They're typically local, and you can go walk the property. You can hug the syndicator. You can cuss the syndicator. You can kick them in the butt. The called for action needs to be. It's a very localized experience, and I like that. And you don't get that when you invest in a REIT on Wall Street, when you're buying some Best Buy power centers or you're buying into them. Big difference. Let's see here. Number 10, do they have a team, or is it just a husband and wife? And I don't want to say just, some of the best syndicators are husband and wife. So let me start there. However, mom and pops typically don't have the depth of transitional capability. If, the team is celebrating at Papacito's the night of closing, and they get in their cars to go home, and perhaps they had a little bit too many margaritas or someone else did, and, have a tragic accident, now you've got the unfortunate circumstance where somebody else has to take over. You would like to think it was someone that was already familiar with the transaction. Let me talk about a couple things that I'm going to add to this list, because I've only got about a minute and a half left. First of all, each transaction you look at, you need to understand, is this a 506B offering or 506C? Those are crowdfunding sections, and they dictate whether accredited only investor, in other words, people that have $1 million liquid net worth versus those that have less, which are the sophisticateds, can participate. Different set of rules, different issues, and I know I'm running through this, but I need to due to time. You want to ask what the priority is of the sponsor for how they're going to accept new investors. Is it based on the amount of money you're investing? I'm seeing now that if you invest higher limits, you may get a little bit better deal on the returns. There's other issues there. You also want to find out, are there any membership fees? You have to join an organization to get into this deal. And then a big one is, will they provide you a full copy of the tax return at the end of the year? Not just a K-1, but a full copy of the return, so that you can reconcile that return, or your accountant can, back to the K-1 that you get. Two sets of numbers. Trust me on that. And so that's one that we don't find very many lead partners willing to do. You want to ask that up front. And I think that's going to do it. I hear the music coming. I got through the list. And again, Sundays at 7 a.m. starting next week on the 12th, we'll be doing exclusively, the full hour will be private syndications, top to bottom, side to side. We're going to go through them. Hope you'll join us, and I hope you'll join us on the Saturday show as well next week.
Thanks for listening to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan P. Ross, CPA. Be sure to tune in next Saturday at 5 for another edition of the Be a Planner Show right here on AM 700 KSEV.